Okay, today, Be'ez Hashem, we are going to pick up with Mishnayis Yud Dalet and Tes Vav of the 10th paragraph of Erev, in the very last two Mishnayis in the entire Maseches Erev. So we're going to have three more cases where something is mutter only in the Mikdash and not b'Medina. Number one, Kohen Shalaka Be'etzvah Korichel of Gemi b'Mikdash. A Kohen who has a wound on his finger is allowed to wrap a Gemi, a reed around it, in the base of Mikdash. It's an Issur D'Rabban and an Ein Shvus b'Mikdash. Avalo b'Medina, you can't do it outside because of the Mikdash, because it's an Issur D'Rabban. Because the reed is helping to heal a wound, and it's an issur d'rabbanan of having refuah on Shabbos. It's a gezeira mishum tochein that you're going to come to grind up herbs that will help you achieve healing. So if a kohen is working the Beis HaMikdash and he has a wound, he's allowed to cover it up with a reed because that's for the sake of the avoda in the Beis HaMikdash. Now there's a whole question that the Achronim discuss over here. Wait a second, if he puts a reed on his hand, that's going to be a chatzitza between his hand and the kalim that he's using. So we assume that the reed is being put on a part of the hand that he's not going to be holding any kalim with, and he's not going to be doing any avoda with, and therefore it's not going to be a chatzitza with anything. And he's just covering it so that it doesn't appear gross, right? And that, therefore, is more respectful to the avoda. Im lahotzi dam kan v'kan aser. If he ties it around the wound in order to draw blood from it, then that, now you're dealing with nisa d'oraisa. So that's going to be aser even in the Beis HaMikdash, because that's a tolda of shochet. So that's one case. Case number two, bozkin melech al gabi kevesh bishvil shlo yachliku. They could crush salt and spread it out on the kevesh, on the ramp leading up to the mizbeach, so that the kohanim don't slip as they walk up and down the kevesh of the mizbeach. So even though that's an issur d'rabbanan, because it looks like the melacha of bona, by leaving salt there on the surface to straighten out the surface and make it less slippery, but it's only an issur d'rabbanan, so we allow it in the Mikdash. And then a third case, if you're drawing water from a well with a bucket that's raised and lowered by using a wheel, you're allowed to draw water with a bucket tied to a wheel from the Bar HaGola and from the Bar HaGadol, which were in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, because that's also only in Isser D'Rabbanan, because the Rabbanan were worried that since it's easy to draw water from the well using a wheel, you might draw water to water your garden also. So that's an Isser D'Rabbanan to draw water from a well using a wheel. But in the Beis HaMikdash, we allow it. Umi Be'er HaKar B'Yom Tov, and you're allowed to draw water with a bucket tied to a wheel from the Be'er HaKar, the Be'er HaKar on Yom Tov, even though that wasn't even in the Beis HaMikdash. It was fed by a spring, and it was the source that people would get spring water, and the people who lived in Galus would come to Yerushalayim for Yontov, would be Ol Regel. They needed to drink water from this well, and the Nevi'im allowed them to do it, even using a wheel. And once they allowed it, it stayed mutter to draw water from that well in Yontov using a wheel, even though the well wasn't in the Beis HaMikdash itself. But that's only for that one particular well, and that permission was not extended to any other well. It was the Nevi'im Shebeinehem were matir that one particular thing. So now we move on to the final Mishnah in Maseches Erevin. One more Isser D'Rabbanan that we allow in the Beis HaMikdash. It's about a sheretz, one of the Shemona Shratzim that are listed in the Chumash in Sefer VaYikra, where the dead body of the sheretz is tamei and is able to be metamei adam and kelim. And if a dead sheretz is found in the Beis HaMikdash, you got to get rid of it because you're not allowed to leave something tamei in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Mishnah talks about how do you get rid of a dead sheretz on Shabbos. Sheretz shenimtzu b'mikdash koyin motzio behem yono. If you have a dead sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, a koyin can take it out with his belt on Shabbos, even though the sheretz is muktzah and you're not allowed to move muktzah anywhere outside of the Beis HaMikdash, shalol l'shalos ha-satumah, because you don't want tumah lying around in the Beis HaMikdash, so you have to get rid of it, so you're allowed to take it out right away. So you have to pick it up right away with the belt, even though the belt now is going to become tameh, meaning it's one of the big dekuna, and it's going to become tameh, because you can't just leave it there until you can get some kli that will not be makabal tumah and pick it up with it, because you're not allowed to leave it around. Now, normally, you're not allowed to make a Kohen's belt tummy because it's one of the big day kahuna and it has kedusha, and you're not allowed to cause tumah. But in this case, it's better than leaving the whole base hamikdash complex tummy. But still, even though the Kohen's allowed to remove it, he can't pick it up by hand because then he himself would become tummy, and that's worse than making the big day kahuna tummy. Worse than making the big day kahuna tummy is making the Kohen himself tummy. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan Broka. That is Rabbi Yochanan Broka's opinion. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Bitzvas Shel Eitz. No, take a non-mekabel tumah kli, wait a few minutes till someone could fetch you a wooden tongs that are not going to become tameh, and that's how you should pick it up. Why would you be tameh the big day kuna? Shel the rabble says a tumah. We don't want to extend the tumah any more than it has to be extended. So essentially, you have this conflict that on the one hand, you don't want to leave tumah in the base of Mekdash, on the other hand, you don't want to be tameh other things. And the question is, which factor outweighs the other factor? Now, you're allowed to remove a sheretz even though it's muktzah, because muktzah doesn't apply in the base of Mikdash because of the ain't shvus b'mikdash. But the Mishnah quotes a Tana says that muktzah is only that we only are able to override the issur of muktzah if the sheretz is in certain very holy places in the Mikdash. Mehechel motzino, so from where in the base of Mikdash are you allowed to remove something that's muktzah? Min hechel min ulam ben ulam l'mizbeach. From the hechel, the ulam, and between the ulam and the mizbeach, those are the holiest parts. But any place that has less kedusha, you're not allowed to remove it from there. Divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas, that is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Makum Shechayevnas, Dona Kares, Fal Shigos Achatas, Misha Motzino. So any place that if a tummy person would go into Bemezid, he'd be Chayev Kares, and if he'd go into Bishogeg, he'd be Chayev Chatas, that's a holy enough place that he's allowed to violate Muktzah. So that's certainly the Hechel Ni'ulam, but it's also the entire Chatzer, even beyond where the Mizbeach is. So if you find the dead sheretz anywhere in the Chatzer on Shabbos, you're allowed to remove it, and only if it's found outside of the Chatzer do you leave it in a place outside of the Azara do you leave it in a place that leave it in the place that it is until after Shabbos. So the entire Azara is included. It's not only the Ulam and the Mizbeach, it's the entire Azara that's included. Now what if you find the dead sheretz on Shabbos in a place where you're not supposed to remove it, meaning according to the Rav Shimon ben Nanas, somewhere in the Azara that's beyond where the Mizbeach is, or let's say outside of the Azara, Vishar Kalamakomos, Kofanalov, Psachter. You should just cover it with a kli until after Shabbos. So the Mishnah tells us the final part of this Masechta goes back to what we learned in Mishnah Yud Gimel, that if you have a snapped string of a musical instrument in the Beis HaMikdash, you're allowed to tie the ends together. So Rabbi Shimon disagrees, and he says, even a Kesher She'eino Shel Kayama might lead to making a Kesher Shel Kayama, which is going to be in Nisidah Raisa. So even though Rabbi Shimon was very machmir about that, in Perek Dalid, he was more makel. The Tanakam of Perek Dalid said that if when Shabbos began, a person is one amma outside of the line of his Tchum Shabbos, of the tchum of a city that he wants to go to, you're not allowed to go more than 2,000 amos from where you are. Rabbi Shimon said that if you're within 15 amos of the line, you're allowed to go because they normally leave some room for error in marking off the tchum Shabbos. So Rabbi Shimon explains why he's strict in the case of the kesher of the musical instrument, and yet mekil, he's more lenient in the case of the tchum. So Rabbi Shimon Omer, makom she'etiru lecha chami shalcha, nasnu lecha. In the case where they allow you to walk anywhere within the tchum, they're giving you what is already yours. Meaning, even if a person is 15 amos outside of where they mark the tchum, you're allowed to go anywhere within that town's tchum because the markers are left with a 15 amma zone for error, a buffer zone. So it looks like you're 15 amos outside of the tchum, you're really actually within the tchum. The rabbanon only were matir to do things that are in Issur D'Rabbanan. But something that's in Issur D'Araisa is going to be more problematic. So I don't want you tying strings on a musical instrument that can very, very closely and easily lead to an Issur D'Araisa. So to review what we learned today, Mishnah Yadalit taught us that if three kulas in the Mikdash, number one, if a Kohen wraps a Kohen is allowed to wrap a reed around a wound on his finger on Shabbos in the Mikdash, but not in the Medina, unless he's trying to draw blood. That is Nesu Daraisa. Number two, they could spread salt on the ramp in the of the Mizbeach, even though it's Nesu Darabanan. And number three, you're allowed to fill water from a bore that has a wheel that you would fill it with. And not only that, there's even one place by Medina that you're allowed to do that, and that was the Be'er Haker that the Chachamim, that the Nevi'im were makel with. And then in Mishnah Tezvav, we said that if you find a sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash, Tanakama holds, Rabbi Yochanan ben Baroka rather holds, the Kohen should not wait an instant and immediately use his belt to remove it, even though it's going to be Metameh's belt. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, wait till you can get wooden tongs to remove it, because you don't want to be Metameh Big Day Kuhuna. And then we had a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas and Rabbi Akiva, which areas of the Beis HaMikdash are you allowed to remove a sheretz from on Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas says from the Mizbeach and further in. Rabbi Akiva says the entire Azara, and anything that's that any place where you're not allowed to remove it from, you're just supposed to cover it up with a kli. And then the Masechta concluded with Rabbi Shimon explaining two disparate opinions throughout the Masechta. That on the one hand, Rabbi Shimon had a major kula that if you are, when Shabbos starts, you are within 15 amos of the tchum of a city, you're allowed to go throughout that entire city. So Rabbi Shimon says, yeah, because they leave you a little zone for error, so they mark off the tchum of the city, not 2,000 amos from the city, but 1,985 amos from the city, so you're really within the tchum. And on the other hand, he says not to tie the string of a snapped instrument in the Beis HaMikdash, because that could really be a kesher shel kayama, and that could lead very easily to a melacha de'oraisa. So that concludes Maseches Erevin. Be'ez Hashem, we'll see everyone tomorrow in Maseches Pesachim.